We're joined from Tamaki Makaurau by Gussie Larkin from Earth Tongue. The band has just put out their third album, Dungeon Vision. They've got a show at Pearl Diver on this Thursday as well. There's plenty to talk about between those two things. Good morning to you, Gussie. How are we?
Good morning. I'm good. Sorry about the terrible weather you guys are having.
Well, it's nothing compared to what, you know, Wellington and Manawatu type area have been having recently. Have you seen the photos of the floods?
Yeah, I'm about to go to Wellington tomorrow, so we'll see.
I hope your flight doesn't get delayed because they got cancelled yesterday, all of the flights in and out of Wellington.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, man, I hope it's okay. I'm flying up on Saturday, so I hope it's all good. But we'll see how we go. We'll see how we go. Are you pretty chill with planes now because you travel everywhere?
I wouldn't say chill. just put on the noise-canceling headphones and try to enter into a zen state.
What are you listening to? Podcasts? Music?
Podcasts a lot of the time, yeah. Mm. I reckon if you're
Joe Rogan,
podcasts are quite good. Yeah, a bit of Joe Rogan.
Oh man. Speaking of podcasts, in the Pits podcast, you spoke about how at the Barcelona Psych Fest, you went to open your guitar case and the neck of your gorgeous guitar was fully cooked, so you had to play with a Sunburst Stratocaster. Is it the first time that happened to your guitar, or is that a recurring problem?
It is, yeah. That's the first time some damage has happened to it. It's been lost by airlines about four times, but it's always come back. So, yeah, that was the first, like, dire moment
Guitar. Did you get it repaired?
Yes, yeah. It was fine. It was just, like, the screws were the, you know, they were, like, 70 years old, like the original screws.
Mm.
And, yeah, they're just like worn away and, yeah, it was fixable.
Mm. Is that a 70-year-old guitar?
Yeah, it's from 1967, so Whoa. Whatever the maths on that is. Yeah.
Man, that's so cool because it seems like you guys try to embody or get as close to 70s middle heavy rock type vibe as close as possible, and I appreciate that you're rocking some real vintage equipment there.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's good and bad vintage guitars, and it just so happens that my one is really nice to play, and it's held up really well over the years.
Mm, stood the test of time, as people like to say. The new album is called Dungeon Vision. Have you and Bame Isra visited many dungeons in Europe?
Sadly, no. I think that should be on our bucket list for this year. Go to some more dungeons. I mean, we've been to a few Berlin clubs.
They would be considered dungeons, but in my view.
as for real castles, yeah, that'll be on our list for this year. Mm. Go to some more castles.
Mm. The Tower of London could be considered a vertical dungeon. I mean, dungeon is a very open-ended term, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. It's a social construction. The press release for Dungeon Vision says that it captures you guys at the height of your powers. I want to know, you know, what makes you believe that?
Ah, interesting. Well, I think we've put so much time into this band over the last 2 years. Mm. You know, we've fully committed. We've sacrificed a lot to do this thing. So I think, yeah, the fact that we've put so much time into it has just, yeah, it's made the live show tighter and the whole universe of Earth Tongue, just more like fleshed out. So yeah, I guess that means we're at the height of our powers.
No, I think, you can definitely hear that on this record between the fact that, you know, these songs were one takes, the fact that they were recorded on tape. I think the song, oh man, what song was it? There's a song in here that's really like low key, and it's the like most low key song I've ever heard you guys make, and it was beautiful, which we'll be talking about more. But I appreciate the variety that's on this record. But yeah, on the vinyl of this album, you've got a few slices that sort of harken back to medieval monastic tomes, you know, with very intricate artwork of plants, and some of the lettering is really big and grand and highly detailed. How did you guys go about designing that? Did you look at some of those old books for reference?
Yeah, for sure. I was looking more at, like, 70s album covers, like, in particular bands, like, more like prog rock bands, like King Crimson. Yeah, artwork that was, there was a lot of painted graphics, and also, like, Japanese record covers, yeah, from the 60s and 70s. That was kind of the initial inspiration, and we put together a bunch of images, and yeah, then just went back and forth with Lily, the designer, sort of fleshing out the concept, and yeah, deciding on the medium was a big one, because yeah, there were a few different avenues we could have taken. It could have been a more graphic, sort of like block style treatment, but I'm really glad we went for the painted cover, just because when you actually see the vinyl, that's when it really hits, and you can sort of see the brush strokes. And yeah, we wanted something a bit more organic for this album, because like you said, I think maybe the song you were talking about is Body of Water.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot more, yeah, sort of like natural organic sounds. And that was also reflected in the kind of recording, like the drums are a lot less kind of produced, like they sound quite natural.
They do. You said that in the creative process, you and Ezra were visualizing characters and making up little stories in your head to sort of fit the narrative of this album. And while it isn't a concept album, as you've said before, did you give a name to these characters, and what sort of scenarios were you imagining them in?
No names, no. And I think, like, these characters sort of morphed in our heads while we were writing as well. There's no real, like, hard and fast, yeah, concept or story. But yeah, it was just that these sort of settings kept coming up, and I don't know, just the visualizing where these certain characters were. Like, there's a song called Harvester, which is sort of me embodying a woman who is kind of turning into the natural landscape that she's harvesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so there were things like that were more sort of abstract that I kept going back to.
Was there any particular point of inspiration for you on that track? I mean, the closest thing I can think of is maybe the sequence in Midsummer when the main character looks down and she's tripping and she's looking down at her hand blending in with the grass. That's probably the closest thing I can think of that.
I would love to say that it was like, oh yeah, it was from this cool LSD trip. But no, I just, I mean, I do a lot of kind of free writing in my notebook, and I think a lot of the ideas come from that. And I also do a lot of drawing, like illustrating sort of plants and funny little characters. And I think that sometimes gives me inspiration as well.
The record, it was recorded live to tape, and the takes that made it onto Dungeon Vision were chosen by your producer, Ty Segal. And he chose those based on their vibe alone. Is there any through line to the takes that made it, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think, just the feel of definitely of the drums. He's a multi-instrumentalist, but he's a great drummer and had a lot of pointers for Ezra that we wouldn't have really thought of. Like, I don't know, just an example, like there's a song called Watchtower, which is quite heavy and you can really lay into the drums. And I think Ezra was hitting the cymbal quite hard. And he just had a little tip to like tap the cymbal really lightly, and suddenly we were listening to it and we were like, oh, it actually sounds heavier now that it's played a lot lighter, just in like certain components of the drum kit. I don't know, there were just like interesting insights like that gave those takes the kind of magic thing that we were looking for.
It's cool to get like awesome technical advice like that, even when you're like 7 years into making music as a group, or even longer actually. You guys have been around nearly a decade, I feel.
Yeah, our first release was in 2016.
Yeah, Portable Shrine. Yeah. True, that's crazy. The video for Orbit of a Witch was made possible through a chance interaction from the New Zealand Stage and Screen Combat School. They lent you guys chainmail and an assortment of medieval props to make a video. They, I think they also had some people from that school act in the video. What was the coolest thing that you saw in their arsenal?
Oh, I mean that Morning Star, which is, we turned into a disco ball for the music video. That was definitely the coolest weapon there. But honestly, they had hundreds of different swords, knives, shields, like just an insane collection. Yeah, super cool place. Like, I can't believe I didn't know about it already.
Were they all like made out of metal, or were they like polystyrene or something that was, you know, painted really well to look like a proper sword?
There was a range, but most of them were metal. But you know, they were for like film sets, so they weren't sharp or anything.
Yeah, you'd hope not. hope not. I think you were right about the song Body of Water. Yeah, I think that was the track I was thinking about when saying that this is a more sonically diverse project, because yeah, Body of Water and Harvester, to a degree, are more stripped back, and they are acoustic in comparison to a lot of the other material on this record. I want to know, I guess, why did you go for those mellower moments here?
Well, I think it was driven by the melody. I am just so driven by melody overall, and we really wanted some songs that were more just me singing, and I think it was from the kind of music we were listening to as well. A lot of like 60s and 70s English folk psych. That really had this like quite pure, very natural sounding, like not overly produced female vocal. I think it's not something that you often hear in this genre of music that we're in. So that really appeals to me. And I was just excited to have some songs that had more instruments. I'm not sure how we're going to play that song live yet, but it's showing a new dimension of us, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. When you mentioned 60s psychedelic folk, have you heard of the Incredible String Band from Scotland? Are you familiar with them?
I have, yeah. Yes. I'm not really familiar with them, but I should listen.
Yes, their song Air is absolutely breathtaking. It's really sweet. It's a very, very sweet song. It's super exciting that you guys are coming down to Ōtepoti this Thursday to play a show at Pearl Diver at 9 p.m. People can find tickets from Under the Radar. And this will be your first Dunedin appearance in a few years, right?
Yeah, I think the last time we were there was for Feastock.
Oh, right. True. The last time I think I saw you guys here was at Dive, when it was Dive. And I think Night Lunch played. It might have been Chabs and Milky that night. Do you remember that?
They all blur into one, to be honest.
Fair enough. Do you have any particular sights you want to see while you're here?
Oh, I don't think we're going to have time, but I'm really excited to check out Pearl Diver because I've just heard really good stuff about it.
Oh, it is an absolute top-notch spot. Thank you so much for coming on the program and talking to me about the third album, Dungeon Vision. I really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, opinions to leave our listeners with?
No, we have a great support band playing on Thursday called Pesk.
Oh yeah, Pesca, awesome.
Yeah.
It's so dope. Like, the drummer is doing synths at the same time he's drumming. He's one-handed drumming, and you wouldn't know because they're that good.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a real good time. All right, well, thank you so much, Gussie. Take care.
Thanks, Zach. See you.
Thanks, man. All right, folks, that was Gussie Larkin from Earth Tongue. We're talking to them about the band's most recent record, Dungeon Vision. We're going to play a song from that record. We're going to play Silver Eye, and then at 9:30, we'll have Daniel Leamy come in for a chat about being the OUSA president. Here is Earth Tongue. You're listening to The One. Kia ora.